This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture, discussing creation, science, and the Bible. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 25 years of experience studying and teaching creation, he is well equipped to address questions about creation with sound, biblical, and scientific answers. If you have a question for Dr. Scripture, contact information follows the program. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, before we get started with the subject for today's program, let's remind our listeners that we are in the midst of our annual creation calendar giveaway.
Yeah, Scott, as we do almost every year, in order to determine where and how people are listening to the Scripture on Creation radio program, we are offering a complimentary God's creation calendar to our listeners. And it's there simply for the asking. However, there are a couple of requirements we ask of you. What are they, Scott?
Well, the first is we want to know how you listen. Is it through the website radio page, through the podcast, or on the radio?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do listen on the radio, we want to know either the call letters of the station you listen to or the city where your station is located. And the second thing we need is your mailing address. Remember, we have to physically mail the calendar to you. We can't send it through the internet.
That's right. Then the other thing people need to know is how they can ask for a calendar.
Well, probably the most common way is through email. Another way is by calling or texting the following number. Everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
574-551-1524. And please remember, if you leave a voicemail, you need to talk slowly and clearly when giving your mailing address so we get it right.
Right.
And finally, you can make your request through the Facebook page, Scripture on Creation, and the email address is scripture@scriptureoncreation.org.
And that information will be given again at the end of the program.
And Dr. Scripture, you described the calendar last time, but maybe you ought to describe it again so people know what they're asking for. I mean, let them know how nice this calendar is.
Good point, Scott. This is a 2020... Man, can you believe it's going to be 20 years since Y2K?
Oh, I still have my dehydrated spam. No, just kidding.
Anyway, it's a 2020 full-size appointment calendar. Each month has a beautiful photograph of some aspect of creation and a Bible verse. And if you want to see what it looks like, you can go to our website, scriptureoncreation.org, and click the calendar tab. We are only giving one complimentary calendar per mailing address, but these calendars make very nice and, might I say, economical Christmas presents, and so we make additional calendars available for $10 each, and that covers the cost of the calendar and postage.
And we'll start mailing the calendars out at the end of November, beginning of December, so you'll get them well before the holiday.
So, is that enough about the calendar, Scott?
Oh, I think so. Are you ready to pick up where we left off last time in the program about the dinosaur mummy?
Yes, but we had pretty much finished talking about that, so I'll just mention again that another mysteriously preserved dinosaur called a nodosaur has just been put on exhibit this year, and on August 16th, 2019, in archaeologyworld.com, it said, quote, "Scientists hail it as perhaps the best preserved dinosaur specimen ever uncovered. You can't even see its bones. That's because 110 million years later, those bones remain covered by the creature's intact skin and armor. Indeed, the Royal Terrell Museum of Paleontology in Alberta, Canada, recently unveiled this dinosaur so well preserved that many have taken to calling it not a fossil, but an honest-to-goodness dinosaur mummy," unquote. And to add to that, although I haven't found a description detailing any soft tissue in it like what's been found in many other dinosaur remains, I also want to read from the National Geographic article published in 2017 that described the process that discoverers went through to transport this dinosaur from the field to the museum. So, quoting from this article, "As it was lifted, the rock shattered, cleaving the dinosaur into several chunks. The fossil's partially mineralized, cake-like interior simply couldn't support its own weight," So it certainly sounds like there was a lot of unfossilized tissue in it. Tissue preserved, according to their dating techniques, for 110 million years. The point, then, I continue to make when we discuss all this unfossilized tissue in dinosaur bones is this. The idea that organic material can avoid mineralization or total decomposition for over 100 million years is simply physically impossible. But because the entire evolutionary theory is based on the premise that the evolution of the diversity of life on Earth must have taken hundreds of millions of years, evolutionists are simply unwilling to reevaluate the reliability of radiometric dating.
So then, Dr. Scripture, what we didn't get to last time, and what I was especially interested in hearing about, was the discovery of fossilized spiders. We hear about fossilized dinosaurs frequently, but spiders? I'd never even once heard of such a thing.
Well, to be honest, neither had I, Scott. But again, similar to the claims concerning this recently discovered nodosaur we just talked about, these spiders that were very recently found were also claimed to be 110 million years old by evolutionists who presented the findings.
Well, it seems 110 million years ago was a very good year.
I guess so. But even better than that, Scott, the fantastic feature that made these spiders so newsworthy was they still had fluorescent eyes.
Fluorescent eyes? You mean like they glowed in the dark?
That's exactly what I mean.
That's cool.
I'm going to be reading from an article published on February 13th, 2019 in LiveScience.com. They reported that, quote, paleontologists working in South Korea found ancient spider fossils with still glittering eyes. Spider fossils are rare, wrote researchers in a paper published on January 28, 2019, in the Journal of Systematic Paleontology. But 11 spiders from the Cretaceous period have turned up preserved in shale on the Korean peninsula, and two of the fossils included the still shiny traces of sparkling eyes. Those glittering bits are mirror structures in the eyes called tapetums that bounce light from the back of the eye back through the retina. Animals use them to improve their night vision, usually at the expense of some overall blurriness. Study co-author Paul Selden, director of the Paleontological Institute at the University of Kansas Biodiversity Institute and Natural History Museum, boy, that's a mouthful, yeah, said in a statement, in spiders, the ones you see with really big eyes are jumping spiders, but their eyes are regular eyes, whereas wolf spiders at nighttime, you see their eyes reflected in light, like cats. So night-hunting predators tend to use this different kind of eye. This was the first time a tapetum had been found in a fossil. Selden said the canoe-like shape of the 110 to 113 million-year-old tapetums will help researchers place the rare spider fossils on the evolutionary tree. This particular bit of South Korean rock has turned out to be a godsend for paleontologists. Let me stop right there for a moment. A godsend?
Yeah.
That's ironic. Going on with the paper. Selden said, this is so rare because spiders are very soft. They don't have hard shells, so they very easily decay. It has to be a very special situation where they were washed into a body of water. Normally they'd float, but here they sank, and that kept them away from decaying bacteria. It may have been a low oxygen condition where bacteria that cause decay can't survive. He added that the rocks where the spider fossils were found were also covered with remains of little crustaceans and fish, suggesting that perhaps an algal bloom trapped them in a mucous mat, causing them to sink. But that's conjecture, Selden said. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but that's conjecture. I think what we're reading is a massive body of conjecture. Anyway, I digress, we'll continue. He said, we don't really know what caused this, but something killed off a lot of animals around the lake at one time or on an annual basis. Whatever killed them, it did paleontologists of the future a great favor and left some tiny, shimmering structures intact to survive through the eons. I'll stop reading from the article at this point. So here we have an example of not just a spider, but an extremely delicate eye material in the spider that, just like the nodosaur fossil, is claimed to be 110 million years old. And why do they come up with that age for the fossil? Because that's the interpreted age of the rock layer that the spider remains were found in.
Now, Dr. Scripture, blood vessels and blood cells have been found in dinosaurs, and protein collagen had also been found. My understanding is collagen, for example, is a rather sturdy protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it makes any sense that it could last intact for 100 million years, but the impression I hear evolutionists giving is it's a tough material, so maybe it could remain preserved inside a bone that long. But this tapetum in the spider's eye, just what is it?
Well, the tapetum is a layer of cells at the back of the eye. I'll just read what Wikipedia said about it. The presence of a tapetum lucidum enables animals to see in dimmer light than would otherwise be possible. The tapetum lucidum is iridescent, and it is the basis of eye shine in animals. It may be made up of crystals or of regularly arranged fibers. So, I was interested in finding out what the actual reflective material was, and what I found was that the reflective crystals can be made of flat, hexagonal crystals of guanine, which is a building block of DNA, or zinc cysteine, which is a modified amino acid, or even crystals of riboflavin, which is a vitamin. And then in some animals, it's a mesh of fibers that reflects the light. The thing to understand is all these substances are very delicate. I could not find any information on what exactly the tapetum was composed of in the spider. But again, whatever it is, 110 million-year-old organic compounds, intact and still functioning as though it was in a living spider, is absurd. A biochemical like guanine or riboflavin breaks down quickly. But as in all cases of, shall we call it, sensational preservation? The obvious question of how could chemicals that so easily break down remain intact is just ignored.
So, Dr. Scripture, is there any way for someone to see pictures of these fossilized spiders with the glowing eyes?
Oh, yes, that's a really good question. Just Google fossilized spider eyes, and all kinds of articles with photos will come up. Again, that's fossilized spider eyes.
And with the remaining time we have in today's program, let's remind everyone that they may request a complimentary 2020 creation calendar.
Indeed. Just email scripture@scriptureoncreation.org, or you can text or call 574-551-1524.
Okay, so we've considered recent fossil discoveries ranging from dinosaurs to spiders, and we keep encountering the same questions. Questions that evolutionists won't even ask, whereas creationists not only ask, but also have the answers for these questions. You know, it seems pretty simple. Whether beasts of the earth or creeping things, the account of creation in Genesis tells us all these organisms were created at the same time. In fact, on the same day as man.
Mm-hmm.
And none of these creatures could be any older than on the order of thousands of years old.
That's exactly right, Scott. And Peter reminds us all to not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to address, you can contact him by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org or call 574-551-1524. You can learn more about our ministry on the website, scriptureoncreation.org. And you can also listen to past episodes of the program archived on the website or by subscribing to the free podcast.